Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. The Score!
You're still here? It's over. Go home. See you this fall.
We keep joking about Johnny Morris. And it's too bad that Johnny Morris has become a punchline. He was a really good football player.
It's not his fault.
Terrific broadcaster.
We're not making fun of Johnny
and a nice
Morris.
Guy. No, but he did really well in the era in which he played. However, the fact that he holds the Bears receiving records is ridiculous.
Of course it is.
It should not be, and yet it is. And at some point soon, I think it's safe to say those records are going to fall.
Well, DJ Moore already would have had the record before he got traded here, right? Isn't that the...
Yes.
Like, he had more yards than Johnny Morris in his first, 4 years in the league.
There's all kinds of asterisks for any number of Bears receivers, but the fact is the records are still held by Johnny Morris.
Right.
And now, for the first time in a long time, the Bears have a wide receiving core that at least... I don't know, a third of other NFL teams would swap theirs out for? Is that fair to say?
I'd argue more than a third.
I'm just being conservative.
I would argue two-thirds.
I'm just being conservative. So usually the Bears wide receivers are like, yeah. And now that there are other teams left to say, when you are ranking positional groups, they are on the upswing.
There's no doubt about that. They're much stronger. They were already stronger with, oh, wait, you know what you added to DJ Moore? Keenan Allen. Like, that was pretty cool. If the Bears were just walking into training camp with just those two guys, it would be a vast improvement on what has been here in the past. You then go, well, we don't know if Keenan's going to stick around, so let's draft another wide receiver, someone that people have a lot of high hopes in Rome Odunze. And now, if you're talking about 11 personnel stuff with those three guys, also, by the way, quiet as it's kept, I still have a lot of faith that Tyler Scott's going to be okay. I think he's going to be okay. I think that he did have the rookie wall hard, and now with a year of NFL experience, I think he will find his spots to be successful inside of this offense.
And he's not going to be the guy thrown into the, hey, go run this go route and win this game for us, kid.
Yeah, go run nines. That's all you're going to run is those nines. And we're going to find a way to get you the
nines
ball.
And quick screens. That's it.
But I think life will be a lot easier for him now because these two guys are here in the building. And they're just, you know, things are just going to be better. So why don't we hear from DJ Moore about this? Why don't we hear what he thinks about working with his quarterback? This is what he told Westwood One about practicing with Caleb Williams.
It means a lot because out there on the field, you definitely gotta know where the next person is, even if he's not even lined up right next to you, but across the field. So everybody being on the same page, because we do have a young quarterback. So just making it easier for him and just knowing everything so he doesn't got to go out there and stress and be like, hey, you got this. But everybody just knowing what they got
to
do.
I'm sure Bear fans would like to know the answer to this is, you know, you obviously went through the draft process where it's so public. Everything is out there. And Caleb Williams, you know, we got to know him and all the some of the quirky things about him as well. And we knew for a while he was going to be the pick of the Bears. Tell everybody your first impression of him when you first met him.
When I first met him, I was like, he's not a bad guy. You know, he was just himself. He was confident. He was funny at the same time. So we hit it off right off the bat. And, I mean, we talk every day. And before we even drafted him, we were talking like once a week. So we was building a good, strong relationship. But he just was a cool dude to just even get to know if we didn't even take him.
You know what I'd love to ask DJ Moore maybe a couple years down the line? How great is it that you don't have to teach a young quarterback stuff anymore? Because think about it.
How great is it you don't have to teach a bad quarterback stuff anymore?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Think about what his career has been. In consecutive seasons, he has Caleb Williams and Justin Fields, like young quarterbacks that are trying to figure it out. And before that, when he was in Carolina, it was like this guy and this. He's catching passes from PJ, and he's catching passes from Baker Mayfield, who's trying to resurrect his career. How, if things work out the way the Bears say they're going to work out, how nice is it going to be for him in year, maybe even next year?
Well,
but the year after, to go, oh.
I think he's always handled it well.
I do too.
And I think his, I mean, I would need to hear him say it, but I do think that he's been incredibly consistent. In the best thing you can do to help a young quarterback is your job.
Yes.
The best thing you can do is be open.
Go get open.
The best thing you get your split right, get your break right, know exactly where your stem is, get the angle correct, and being reliable and being open is the best thing you can do to help that guy.
Yes. But still, like, it'll be nice when he doesn't have to answer a lot of questions about doing his job. This is what DJ had to say. Oh, that was Golic, by the way. Shout out to Golic. This is what DJ had to say about learning from Keenan Allen.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be like that because there's some things that he does that I want to be able to do and learn, and he expressed that it was the same with him to me. So just going back and forth on different things, with either even releases or routes or anything like that. It's just easy to bounce things off because he's done it at a high level for such a long time. And my youthfulness, and he wants to be able to do some rack stuff this year. So I'm excited to see that.
So this will be fun. The DJ laughing at the idea because he's the rack guy. He's the rack receiver, and Keenan's the technician. So you have those two guys, like, comparing notes with each other.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want everybody to get too hung up with what they're, how they've been defined by their previous work. I think the best thing you could do with this team is bring them all in, install some of the stuff, and then say who's comfortable where, especially with the vets. And Adunze, who carries himself older than his years, maybe it's a little stripped down for him, depending on how quickly you want to onboard him. But Everything's on the table. Like I don't want anybody to be bound by any previous notion about how they fit elsewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, this has been what they've been.
I know. I just, if we're really going to celebrate Waldron for not being Getsy, and we've heard that, whether people have meant it or not, or intended it or not, it's been very clear in the aggregate. In the overall, the tone of what we've heard. Is that a willingness to adapt
yeah.
and to make and to be fluid and in the moment and less rigid is part of what is recommending Waldron? Then go ahead, say I know you're known as this guy,
yeah,
but that emotion you over here, and they're gonna think you're this guy, so they put this guy on you.
But that's okay to me.
Sure.
The way I look at it is that both of those guys can do what the other one does, but they're better at the thing that they've become known for. Like, DJ Moore clearly understands how to play receiver. He understands soft coverage, where the zones break down, like all of
when
that
to
stuff.
Stop and yeah. sit and turn and
he
post
understands
up.
That yep. stuff. But where he thrives as a wide receiver, the history of his career is he's going to challenge you. Even though he doesn't look like the biggest wideout out there, he's got a, when you say, hey, I need you to catch a ball for me, a contested ball, he can do that.
Okay, now, this brings up something that is, for me, the next stage of growth and trust in the Bears passing game.
Okay.
And, you know, I've fixated on this, and I'm going to continue to do so.
Shane Waldron's breathing.
No, that's just, I'm going to have to stop being bothered by it, but it bugs me. It is the idea that in the NFL right now, the deep middle, the middle and the deep middle is where you're going to gash teams, where you're really going to find yards.
Yards.
That's where you're going to find it. And one thing we've learned about when you say contested catch, tiptoeing on the sideline as a safety is coming over the top or an outbreaking dig, one of those angled digs that are so popular right now, or a back shoulder throw, it takes a different level of courage than a contested catch in the middle of the field.
True.
And that's where the trust level, the connection between receiver and quarterback, tight end and quarterback, pass catcher, however you want to say it, that's where it matters the most in the most critical times, is trusting that throw is one that you can make.
That it's not a murder ball.
Exactly, Tyson Bagent. That before the guy's out of his break and the ball's out and the safety is breaking too, making sure that guy can get it and get down. Or if it's DJ Moore, get it, spin out of contact and go for another 15 yards. That
gives him the opportunity to catch and brace.
Yak and rack on a smoke route is fun. Yak and rack on a zero route is fine. But the stuff that wins you games, big games at critical times, is when you shake a tackle or you beat an angle in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
That's where the big boy game is played. And if they're going to do that and they're going to build it, we're going to talk all these great things, show it to me there. And when and where matters.
It's being able to catch the ball, like if you're DJ Moore and like not having to leave your feet, or then like you leave your feet and then you land and then you're blowed up. That's not what you want. You want that even if he has to leave his feet to make the catch, that he's going to be able to land and then steal himself to make a hit, to be the one delivering the hit or being able to avoid it instead of being a victim in the middle of the field. That's not what you want. And it'll be fun to see how all of that plays out. Like, how long does it take Caleb to kind of calibrate the speed at which the game is being played, the defenses that he's going up against, so he doesn't put those guys in bad positions, and them working with him and saying, all right, this is what happened on this particular play. This is how we can make that sort of thing better. Don't get me killed out there, kid.
And it can be done. And that is something that shocked me about Brock Purdy. And there's where you've got your wideouts, you've got guys, you had interchangeable parts in your skill positions on offense and all kinds of formational fun, but Brock Purdy, you just say whatever you want about all of the scouting traits and everything else. He is able to time some middle of the field throws,
yes,
at important times in the game.
He's a very good anticipatory thrower. And that's what you're hoping. Caleb Williams is that, and also
can do it on the run and can see a guy about to come open, which is almost an impossible thing to teach. And you can see that on film, is when you have a sense of this guy is more open than even he knows he is.
So we talked about Keenan Allen a little bit, and we knew that we were going to discuss this. And so we were all thinking, wait, didn't we have Matt Bowen kind of break down why Keenan Allen is so good? A former DB talking about wide receiver tape. It doesn't get any sexier than this.
High level coverage awareness. The ability as a wide receiver to read the rotation of the safeties, the coverage rotation, and how the picture changes post-snap. He understands. He can find open grass versus zone coverage all day long. He knows when to convert routes. He knows how to work within the route stem at a pace that works with the quarterback. And most importantly, Lawrence, he can still get open versus man coverage. Not only get open in tight quarters. He can separate. And that's the name of the game when we really break it down. Look, I'm guilty of it all the time. We look at these wide receivers in the draft and we talk about, we focus first on traits because that's what the draft's about. But at the end of the day, at that position, it's about getting open and getting open consistently. And that's what Keenan Allen can do. So when he's working with a young quarterback, 3rd and 2 to 6, 3rd and 7 to 10, that's where I want the football to go. That's why I made the trade to Keenan Allen, to give Caleb Williams that high percentage target that can consistently get open and move the sticks. Because if you get first downs, you score points. And you score points, you win games on Sundays.
Yeah!
Put your hands together for Matt. Someone comes out, he's got the shirtless with a bow tie and the tuxedo pants.
Cufflinks.
Yep.
Holding a football, most importantly.
Because he cares deeply about
football. No, coming out with a chalkboard.
Football is very important to him.
That's what Matt Bowen's doing. Matt's coming out there with the chalkboard.
Look at him design a play.
Look at these X's and O's. Ladies and gentlemen, get your X's and O's together for your favorite, Matt Bowen.
Don't forget to tip your bartenders. 2-drink minimum.
It's fun when we get a chance to do sexy football.
There's more, though, because I mentioned Rome Odunze.
You did.
They don't know exactly what role he can play because he is fast. He's big. He does have positional versatility. So how does he fit, Matt?
He has a different physical profile than DJ Moore. And Keenan Allen, he can play as that boundary X, that backside receiver. When he got trips, that means three wide receivers to the field, and you're going into the boundary side of the formation. That's where Odunze can play. He'll give you those vertical matchups, can run the deep in breakers. He's instinctive after the catch. And I think he's got the play speed and the play strength to work through contact at the NFL level.
I want to see that slant. I want to see what I can see it in my mind's eye, the formation that he's describing on a third down against the Bears when we're all jumping off the couch going, it's an X slant. Somebody cheat to that side and take it away without interfering.
You mean week 18 at Green Bay?
Stop.
Because that's what they like to run.
I know.
And Jordan Love's gotten real good at doing it.
Need situation. You get something going a little bit in that direction, and then it's a little reverse pivot. Bing, bing. Damn it. Damn it. It's 3rd and 8.
You mean they got
11.
You mean like, oh, there's Amon-Ra St. Brown again on a slant that he then took
again,
20 yards?
Middle of the field.
That's what I'm saying.
If you look at
they what, took 20 yards.
What they did and where they had the emphasis of their passing offense at critical times was that level of fearlessness. Now, the Bears did an awesome job of taking that away from them, too. The Bears were really good at understanding that and playing, you know, trying to push everything outside, where usually you're doing the opposite.
Well, this texter says that this has been Salma Hayek-level sexy football. That, to me, is a win.
That's in my algorithm. Now, again, we're working in the demographic right here as I'm about to age out of it. But, you know, while
hello, 80.
That's how it's supposed to sound. I guess we'll ruin it with by bringing in our buddy Nick Friedel.
No, next. Now we're going to do sexy basketball.
Oh, okay, fine. Is he in Spain, by the way?
I believe he's in Spain or in Portugal. One of those two.
What time is it?
It does. It's 7 hours ahead, right? So it's fine.
All right.
It's fine. He's. I'm sure he's going to get ready, going to have himself a nice dinner in a couple of hours.
Say, and he's had half a bottle of Rioja or Ribera del Duero. And
yeah.
Spain is so odd. And if you stop for more than 30 seconds, someone will put a plate of olives and a plate of almonds in front of
you. Well, we can talk to him about
and
that.
Anywhere in Spain, if you stop for 30 seconds, there will be olives and almonds that find you.
So I guess technically he's been getting up early to watch NBA playoff basketball.
All right.
That sounds like a good way to start the day in Spain, because they're not up early over there. So,
well, no, nor do they work particularly hard,
so to speak,
or produce anything.
They produce a lot. We're going to come back and talk sexy basketball with Nick Friedell next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Dallas will dribble out the clock. Very similar to what we saw in the previous series. Dallas lost to the Clippers in Game 4 and then recovered with a huge Game 5 win, wrapped up the series in 6. Major bounce back by the Dallas Mavericks. They defeat the Thunder in OKC to take a 3-2 lead in the series.
Iron Eagle on TNT. Yeah, that Luka guy's pretty good. Salute Major bounce back for that win that they got. And Daniel Gafford, when you start seeing what he has built himself into and exactly what the Bulls need right now, it kind of,
yeah,
you don't want to think about it too hard.
There were some people who thought that he could be exactly this. Yeah,
it kind of makes you want to throw up when you think about it. Let's talk some basketball with Nick Friedell. We always enjoy doing that. He is on the line, our Odyssey NBA insider. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventures on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. And we're told by our spies out there across the pond, Nick, that you're making some waves with an obvious shirt or shirts.
It's quite the experience, Dan, walking around Portugal in the greatest game ever played was on a Wednesday in Cleveland, because all anybody does is look at my shirt and then try to figure out what is that. I've heard "what game" many, many times over here. So it's been quite the experience, but a good one nonetheless, because it reminds me of much happier times with the Cubs. Although it does seem that they've righted themselves a little bit here.
How's the trip been?
It's awesome. For anybody who hasn't been over to Spain, Lawrence, or Portugal, or this side, put it on the list, because it is really relaxing. It's different. There's a whole bunch of different stuff to see. And the ability that I have at the moment to travel around and see new places, it just kind of frees your mind up. And you start thinking about the other cool places and things that you've been missing out on for so long. So it's been fun, but it's been cool to see how big the American sports culture is over here, specifically, especially in our case, at times, the NBA, because you're walking down the streets in some of these places and you're seeing, I saw a guy in a Jimmy Butler hoodie today.
Get out of here.
In Lisbon. And then I'm looking at him like, okay, you know, it's still soccer all the time. I mean, Real Madrid won La Liga. There was a huge celebration. in the heart of Madrid the other day. That was cool. But the NBA certainly has become much more global. And I have seen that definitely over the course of my travels in the last year or so.
It is fun to look at sports through the prism of what other people in other countries think about it. And my good friend Alicia, like, she's like planning on just moving to Portugal. Like, she just loves it that much that she's going to spend a life there. But I love to see that. Like, I'm looking forward to, I'm going to Montreal in a week or so. And I love talking baseball with people in Montreal because they desperately, desperately want a baseball team back there. And the way they talk about it, even with the history of, like, you got folks that are in their 30s and 40s talking to me about Jackie Robinson in Montreal. Cool. And that was, cool. You know, 80 years ago that we're talking about that. So, like, that's a dope way to go about, like, watching this game and how globalized it's been, which can bring us back to the playoffs. When you start talking about the guys that are really making hay in this playoffs, it's become an international game. Jokic wins the MVP for the third time, and we saw a virtuoso game from him in game five of this series. One of the best playoff performances that we've ever seen. What have people around the league talked to you about when it comes to guarding that guy?
Lawrence, first of all, the reason why you make the big bucks is because you can segue off of me traveling Europe into, hey, you know, there's a lot of worldwide flavor right now in the NBA. So that's why you're the man. And I respect the hell out of getting from point A to point B there. But as far as Jokic goes, the message is the same. As I talk to people all throughout the NBA, and it's definitely now, but it started the last few years, the message is the same. He is the best. And trying to guard him, the answer is usually the same as well. Good luck. Because like we saw in that third quarter, I'm sitting over here, I'm watching some of what's going on, and I'm going, nobody's stopping this dude. It's just not going to happen. He is that much more talented than anybody else right now. And the difference in his game today than it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago is, okay, you want to try to slow him down and throw an extra body at him? We know how great of a passer he is. He can create so much more space for everybody else. But that game the other night, when you're watching the way he is dominating the Timberwolves, not only did they go on and, of course, win, what that type of performance does is it breaks another team's will. And I remember sitting in there with you guys last week, and I didn't think Denver was done. A lot of why? Because Jokic is the guy right now in the league. And to see the way they bounce back and to watch the way they played, it just underscores what a dramatic step he's taken in these last few years. And it's why Denver feels like they're going to win this thing again, even going down 0-2, because when you have the best player, and they do, anything is possible.
I also thought that Anthony Edwards didn't play his toughest brand of basketball in that game. I don't necessarily think he was helped out tactically by some of what was going on when he was blitzed, and this I think the spacing, the movement could have been better. Also, tell me what you think about when they trailed. I thought they waited, and have waited in general, too long to let Edwards go foul hunting. And maybe I'm just kind of spoiled by what DeMar DeRozan can still do at his advanced age. But if you clear aside for Edwards, there isn't much that can be done to stop him, and or at least stop him from getting to the line, which allows you to get back into a game with the clock stopped. And maybe it's just a little too easy, or maybe it's not fancy enough for the Timberwolves. But I was just like, you know, give him the ball, get out of the way.
Dan, it's a really, really good point. I think the difference, and I like the DeMar comparison as well. DeMar DeRozan, I mean, he's nowhere close to Anthony Edwards' level as far as night to night and a guy you're going to pay to see in Edwards' future. But DeMar knows how to get to the rim, get to the line, do what he needs to do in that mid-range game to make things happen for his group. And what we've seen, certainly, the other night, and what we've seen at various points in the playoffs, is Anthony Edwards is incredible, but he's still learning how to do Exactly that. And that's why I felt like everybody needed to pump the brakes a little bit on, well, this guy's the next face of the league and, you know, the MJ comparisons and on and on. He has to learn how to take everybody else and lift them up. And usually when that happens, especially for a younger player, it's in these moments where you take the ball and you say, get out of my way. I'm going to make this happen. And whether that's coaching with Chris Finch and that staff, or whether that's Edwards just trying to impose his will a little bit more, Denver's defense stepped up. And I think that is a just a terrific point, because you need a guy like that at that level to make sure that there is no doubt who's going to get the ball, who's going to get to the line, and who's going to make that basket when you need to stop the pressure that the Nuggets put on you. He hasn't been able to do it. And Minnesota looks like a team that just needs one more push in game six, and that'll be it for him.
Nick, what did you make of LeBron being courtside at the Cleveland-Boston game?
Oh, Lord. That dude, for as long as I've covered him from a distance and watched all the things he's done over 20 years, he doesn't do anything by accident. Nothing. He says the message that he wants to get across, and he puts out a narrative that he wants to get across. So as soon as I saw that, I went, oh, God. Yeah, I felt like he's just reminding everybody, hey, still here, Cleveland, what's up? You know, are we going to make this thing happen again down the line? And you can't tell me. And the three of us have been sitting in the UC plenty of times, and you see, and this is the comparison here, you see MJ come back into the building. It hasn't happened often, but I remember when it did happen 10, 12 years ago after they were celebrating that first title team. The roar that he got in Chicago coming back, you know it meant something to him. And you know LeBron at this stage of his career trying to figure out exactly where he wants things to end. Is Bronny going to be wherever he does go? We'll see. I know he's done a little bit more media than we've seen in the last year. I just thought it was a really, really interesting play. Not that LeBron's going to go land in Cleveland this second this summer. I still think he is with the Lakers, at least to start next year. I just felt like he was there for a reason, to remind everybody, I'm still the king of this place. I can come back whenever I want. And he absolutely wanted to feel that love, because if we've learned anything about LeBron over all this time, one, he's an incredible player. 1A, his ego is gigantic, and he loves the adoration that he can get.
How did Rick Carlisle and the Pacers allow the Knicks to bounce back so forcefully after the Pacers seemingly found something with the physicality, with the trapping, and then Thibodeau was like, all right, this is coming. We'll be ready for it. It's going to move a whole lot faster, and the ball's going to be gone by the time you've figured out what you're doing.
I thought there were some really good adjustments there by Tibbs, Dan, but even more to the point about the Pacers. It just looked like a team that is not ready for the stage that they're on, at least to get through it. When you go into game five and you know the intensity that's going to be at the Garden, and you cannot find a way to get your defense together, and Tyrese Halliburton,
he's disappeared.
Lawrence, that's the word. He completely disappeared. You watch that game, and I think back to all my friends in the league that were sitting there during the in-season tournament saying, this dude, that's the next dude. Tyrese Halliburton is going to be one of those next guys in this younger class who can dominate, who can bring casual fans back into the day-to-day, even in a place like Indianapolis. If you're Tyrese Halliburton and you have that type of momentum throughout the year, and then you get to the second round of the playoffs and you just disappear, yikes. So when I watched Indiana, I watched a team that just is not ready to take that step. I think we'd all agree the Knicks are about to get wiped out by Boston if they can win one of these next two games. And I don't see any way Indiana can win a game seven at the Garden, no matter who's on the floor for the Knicks. But guys, I wouldn't want to play the Knicks if you had a choice, because that team gives you everything that they've got. And certainly all the people in Chicago know that anything is possible when you have a team that believes and plays that hard.
And what's interesting is that that's exactly the type of team that could beat Boston. That's exactly the type of team that can beat this Boston squad. Because for all their skill, for the fact that they've got two max guys on their team, there has been a question about toughness. And if there's one thing that you never have to question with a Tom Thibodeau coach team, is toughness. So, yes, I agree that on paper, Boston should beat them. It should be a gentleman's sweep. Like that, they should beat them in five games, but they won't because they don't do that for some reason. And I hope I'm wrong because I love Jason Tatum's game, and I love the way that he goes about it. But I'm waiting for the turn-up moment, man. I'm waiting for, hey, man, I got this. I am the next face of this league. Let me be that. And we just have not seen it enough.
Lawrence, I think to the point about the Celtics, I couldn't agree with you more, because when you watch them in the last few years, this is not just this regular season, this playoffs. There are far too many times where they're just going through the motions. I mean, you saw it in the Miami series. They never should have lost the game to that team. They get drilled at home. It happened in the second round against Cleveland as well. They need to get the Knicks, or if the Pacers miraculously come back here, and just sweep them. They need to put them out of their misery, get the rest they're going to need against, at least I still think, Denver, but we'll see what happens in the other series. But Boston has to learn from their past mistakes. They let Miami absolutely dominate those first few games of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Then they wake up, start playing better defense, and not turning the ball over. But they ran out of gas in game seven. You cannot run out of gas over and over and have people take you seriously. And to the point about Tatum, if he really wants to be that guy that you just described, and the guy that has the respect of being the face of not only the team, but the league, who can win a title, you can't mess around and give away games on your way to the finals.
There it is. Nick Friedel, our Odyssey NBA insider. Thank you as always. Enjoy the
drink
remainder
all the wine, man. Go have fun.
Thank you, sir.
Walk around all those streets in Portugal that are hard to walk on because they're cobblestone and there's stairs all the way up to heaven.
It's where I'm going as we speak, and I'll leave you all with this thought. You see Yankees hats all over the place, all over any country. What is number two? And this is all over now. This is not
Cubs.
Just Spain and Portugal.
The Bulls.
Yes, it is the Chicago Bulls. Everywhere you go, it's incredible, because you tell somebody Chicago and you still hear Michael
I've
Jordan.
I've always said this. People love Javonte Green.
People do not love Javonte Green.
People love.
That's not
I've
a
always
thing.
Said this. The world loves Javonte Green. Thank you, Nick. That was Odyssey.
Adios, guys.
NBA insider Nick Friedel. Insider calls are brought to you.
Love that guy.
By the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. By the way, tonight we are, Jason and I are recording episode 75.
Now, there is a person who loves Javonte Green.
More than he should.
Because he's bad.
No, he's awesome. The Organizations Win Championships podcast. We're doing a mailbag as part of tonight's show.
What are you, Biggs?
Hey, man.
What is your scoop? What is your scoop that you're going to bury?
A bunch of really good questions to come in. If you have a question for us, it can be Bulls, it could be draft, it could be NBA playoffs, it could be NBA related, or if you just want to ask Schmuck Pickle a question about something, feel free to put one in. So,
how many transfers does DePaul have for this upcoming season?
How many?
10.
Wow. So reach out on Twitter if you want to have your question answered on our mailbag, which will be out tomorrow morning when we post episode 75 of Organizations Win Championships. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the underwhelming response from the NFL to the absolutely horrible, atavistic, horrible speech that was given by the complete asshat that is Harrison Butker.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. In Odyssey.
A simple way to listen to our show, Mully and Haw, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything The Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. You download the Odyssey app today, you search 670 The Score, and you can take us wherever you may go. Bernstein and Holmes with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score. The league has spoken. Finally, after Harrison Butker decided to stand up and really check every box of horrible. And let's get something straight here. This wasn't just, he just thinks differently, or he's just not conform. No, it was bad. It was bad on all levels. It needs to be called out. It isn't just some alternative way of looking at it. It's horrible, the stuff that he did. It was incredibly homophobic, transphobic, homophobic. It was
misogynistic,
deeply misogynistic, and terribly anti-Semitic, using one of the worst tropes. And I don't want to get into what is going on with the perversion of the term of anti-Semitism lately and trying to conflate it with how one feels about Israeli governmental policy and the differences between the state and government to the country of Israel and what it means to be Jewish. That's for another time. And people are misunderstanding it on purpose. People who know better are using it to they're bad actors using it to wrong ends, intentionally misinterpreting what that means. He didn't. That's like old Henry Ford, Elders of Zion stuff that he's making. Like, there are laws that say if you say the Jews killed Jesus, you can be arrested. What the hell are you talking about? This guy's really a stain. Harrison Butker's an absolute stain. And for the league to soft pedal their comments on it, and for the Chiefs to have said nothing, is really gross.
I think it's also remarkable. I mean, he loves to talk about karma, strangely enough. The fact that he would even trying to do it in a very sly way, attack Taylor Swift, who's not just Taylor Swift. She's the girlfriend of one of your teammates. And that in itself is a violation of like the highest order of the locker room. You don't talk about someone else's girlfriend or wife publicly unless you're saying it's really great that she's here. Like he has done in the past. Butker has talked about that, but him using her and quoting her.
Butker is an absolute stain. And do you remember the kicker that came out of college with a three percenters tattoo?
Yes.
He was a draft
pick.
The
Patriots draft pick.
Yeah. And that guy was rightfully kept out of football. This stuff's worse.
I wonder how that plays, you know, where it's all of the stuff that you're talking about. Like, you have Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes at the same time, like, being on the forefront of a women's movement in Kansas City, that it's a big deal to Patrick that his wife be known as the owner of the Kansas City NWSL team. That's like a big part of it. And then on top of it, to have the scion right now for empowered women be the girlfriend of one of your teammates and to try and use her as a way to craft your argument of a takedown of women in the workforce is beyond bizarre. And
not to mention all when he's trafficking in the incel stuff about the masculinity is fading in the American male alpha man. I'm such a man, and we can't be men. Our precious bodily fluids of manhood are being sucked away by the gays. I mean, all that's, it's like, He's got everything. Every toxic everything is on here.
And you know that how I feel about people using religion to divide and conquer, which is unfortunately a very sad part of world history. This is part of the reason that I struggle, because people are so quick to just take the faith and just bastardize it.
And what I've seen on Twitter and our text line and the people saying, well, what's so bad about what he said? Everything's bad. And if you don't know, first of all, you want an automatic block, an automatic text block, an automatic Twitter block. And stay, get out of my life and out of my face and out of any timeline forever.
It's also,
if you come close to saying there is any defense, any justification, any mitigation for anything Harrison Butker said in this, it's horrible. It's absolutely, absolutely horrible, atavistic, more than out of place. This should be decried with every bit. And I guarantee, had this happened, it had an NBA player given this same speech, I can bet you Adam Silver would have that guy in his office. There'd be a lot more than just, oh, this doesn't represent the way the league feels.
And then you have the whole problem, and maybe it gives us some insight into what's going on with Harrison Butker, that, you know, he probably was able to do what he does now because of what his working mom did for him as a renowned scientist.
Right. It gave him the privilege and the opportunity to be in these positions.
Yes.
Because she is, what, Smith College and an accomplished physicist?
Yeah.
And he says, stay in the kitchen. It's.
I'm glad the Chargers took a shot at him for that.
But it should be a lot more than that. And you say, well, free speech. Yeah, there are consequences. There are consequences to telling the world
people don't,
how disgusting you are.
It is one of our education system's like biggest laments for me, that people don't understand Amendment 1. They don't understand that he was not arrested for what he said. Therefore, his First Amendment rights were not violated. First Amendment does not protect you from criticism, nor does it protect you from consequences that are not put upon you by the state. I just hate that people do not understand.
Yeah, I wish nothing but ill toward Harrison Butker. If Terry and I still had the bus list, be right on it. Move him to the top.
Jason Leisure will join us in the next segment. We'll talk Bears and, I don't know, other stuff with him, because he likes to talk about other things too. Next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.